I'm going to do something a little bit dangerous to start off this message today. I want to ask you to think of a conflict that you've had recently. So just pause and reflect. Don't go to one of the big conflicts because that's going to distract you for the whole message. But instead, just think about one of those smaller conflicts you've had. And maybe as I say that, you kind of go, but when I think about conflict, I'm thinking about big things. That's all that I can think about. Conflicts are those big moments, and yet the definition of a conflict is a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. That moment when somebody thinks something differently to you and it gets in the way or it frustrates what you are trying to do. So maybe another way to ask that initial question is, when was the last time you got frustrated by the actions of somebody else? Maybe it was this morning when you wanted to get to church on time and somebody else in the house had a different idea. Or maybe it is a different idea of priorities around what chores are actually important in the house and what needs to be prioritized. Or maybe it is a Friday afternoon, you have a special treat waiting for you in the staff fridge that is going to be a reward for you, and someone, and I'm definitely not going to say Gavin's name here, chooses to eat it. Hypothetically, of course, that this is all hypothetical. Or maybe it's that moment when you're just packing up, getting ready to leave for the day, and your boss comes in and dumps a new deadline on your desk. These are frustrations. These are those moments when our plans and our desires get frustrated by a difference of opinion or action. And I want you to just hold in your mind an example that you have from your life as we go through today, because we are picking up our series, Pursuing Peace. We are looking at conflict throughout the year. We're picking up this series and looking at what do we do with conflict. Because conflict's one of those hard things. We all deal with it in different ways and in different places. But often we kind of look at conflict and we go for one of the two edges. We kind of want to avoid conflict completely and run away from it. Or we see conflict as something we have to win. And this year we want to just introduce that maybe there's a third way. There is a third option for how we engage in conflict. We can choose to redeem it, to choose to actually engage through conflict and strengthen our relationships with others and glorify God. A little bit earlier in the year, I introduced this series and we looked at conflict as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to glorify God. It's an opportunity for us to serve others, to imitate Jesus. But it requires a shift in our mindset. As we engage with this series over the year, we are building on the work of Peacewise, who are a Christian organization who look at how do we actually resolve conflict in a way that redeems it, in a way that glorifies God as we move through that idea of conflict. And I know that many people in the room have done stuff with Peacewise in the past. They came and did some training last year. Workplaces use it. But we want to look at this question of how do we redeem. So our passage today is Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, a famous part of the Sermon on the Mount. But let's have a look at that passage now. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Again, this is one of those famous passages that many of us have heard before. But sometimes when people look at this passage, they see that first bit, do not judge or you too will be judged, and they feel that it's saying that there is no time ever that we can speak into somebody else's life. There is no time that we can challenge somebody else over what they are doing. And yet that's not what Jesus is saying. When we look at it, we see down in verse 5, it talks about first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is not encouraging us to avoid conflict or to ignore it or to run away from it. Instead, he's challenging us with one big idea through this passage. It's the same idea, and he shares a couple of different ways. Whenever you are frustrated, whenever you are engaging in conflict with someone, before you respond, you need to check yourself first. Before you respond in conflict, before you lash out, before you do anything, you need to take the opportunity to pull out a mirror and look at yourself first. Because I don't know about you, but I know that whenever conflict starts to happen, whenever something starts to happen for me, there is a desire to try and push the attention away from me. You know, there's this desire to kind of attack somebody else or to run away or to distract, to get angry, to strike out, to just push the attention away from us because we feel uncomfortable. Because we're feeling attacked. See, that's natural and it's normal because it's this sense of survival that's at work in us. But when we do that, we are just reacting. We are going off instinct. We are going off what God is, or we're going off what's going on inside and not actually pausing to stop and reflect so that we can act from a better place. And so what Jesus is encouraging us to do here in this moment is to pause, to check ourselves first. And as we go through this passage, we see there are four things that Jesus invites us to check in ourselves as we engage with the other person. And these four things are all things that exist in our side of the fence. One of the best lessons I ever learned about conflict was understanding that I cannot make anybody else do anything. I am only responsible for how I respond. And so when Jesus gives these instructions, when Jesus gave this teaching, he's giving us four things that belong on our side of the fence, that are our responsibility. And that actually, it's not about how the other person responds. It's checking ourselves first. That's all God asks of us. And so the first thing that Jesus challenges us to do here is to check our approach. Verse 2 says, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." The way that you choose to engage with somebody else matters. I wonder if you can think back to when you were a kid and your parents called your name. Because if they just called your first name, you knew everything was fine. You knew they were just calling you to let you know that there was food available or that they just needed to tell you something. But if I know that when I was growing up, if I ever heard Ian Donald Anderson, I knew that I had done something to frustrate mum's plans or desires. And I generally knew what that thing was. That simple way of starting a conversation set the tone for the entire situation. Our approach matters. And the thing is, in conflict, our back is up. We are worried, we are stressed, we are in survival mode, and it shows. You know, how often does something come out of our mouth and we go, oh, I didn't quite mean it like that, but it just kind of came out with a bit of a bite or something like that. Jesus is warning us here, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. If you go in ready for an attack, you are going to be attacked. If you go in ready for a fight, you are going to find a fight. If you go in from a position of superiority or authority, it's not going to be received well. And so we're challenged. Think about how you engage in conflict. Think about how you approach it. Can you approach it from a position of curiosity? Hey, I see that something I have done has upset you. Could you explain why? Or can you help me to understand what is going on here? This curiosity changes the approach of the conversation. It's not an argument anymore. It's a seeking to understand. Or when you've been stewing on something all day at home and somebody walks through the front door, that is not the time to bring it up. Instead, checking your approach might be choosing to go, after they've settled in, hey, is there a good time that we could talk about this issue? Because I think we need to share about it. That gives the other person time to prepare. That gives the other person time to know that they need to get in the headspace for it. It shows that you value the relationship. The first thing that Jesus challenges us to do is to check our approach. He wants us to pause and take a deep breath, not a sigh, and to think about how we're going to engage. The second thing is to check your expectations. Verse 2 again says, "And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Have you ever been in a situation where somebody has yelled at you and it feels like their expectations are way up there? And how frustrating that is, how annoying that is, particularly maybe you're new to a role, or maybe you're sitting there listening to it going, your expectations for me are up there, but I know if anybody challenged you on that, you'd want them to be there. It's frustrating, it's annoying. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to think about the expectations that you have of others. This wording that he uses, it's about scales and measures. It's about making sure that things are equal. Where we hold ourselves to account is how we hold others to account as well. And the thing is, when we actually pause and think about our expectations in this moment, I don't know about you, but I think often we expect more from others. I think the area that I see this the most in my life is with my kids. As I get frustrated with them, as I get annoyed that things aren't done quickly or they're not done to the same level that I expect. And I have to pause and I have to remind myself, you know what, if I was their age, would I want to be held to that same level? Would I want to be expected to be challenged to be at that point myself? When I'm new to a task, would I want to be held to the same standard of somebody who's been doing it for 20-odd years? Or would I rather have somebody show me grace and love and forgiveness to approach me alongside me to help it turn it into a learning opportunity instead of a frustration? So often our expectations are off as we engage with others. And so Jesus challenges us and he encourages us to just pause and think, how do we want to be treated in this moment? Jesus continues with verses 3 to 4. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? See, the next thing that Jesus challenges us with is to check our perspective. Have you ever noticed that when you put something by the front door, to remind you to take it to work or to return it to somebody. You see it for the first couple of days, but you don't have time to deal with it, so you just ignore it, and then all of a sudden, after a week, it disappears. You don't see it at all anymore. Our brains are very good at ignoring things. Our brains are very good at learning to just edit things out. I learned a couple of years ago, I was given glasses to wear. And the first thing that I noticed as I was wearing glasses is that the horizon is a flat line. It's not a blurry line. That was a mind-blowing moment for me. But also I got so frustrated when I wore glasses that you could always see the edges of the frame, the edges of the glass. Until I actually started wearing my glasses more often. And after a week or two, I realized you don't actually see the edges of the glasses anymore. Your brain just edits it out and you see through it instead. Because our brains are very good at ignoring what we don't need to see. They're very good at ignoring what is always around us. But they're very, very good at picking out what goes on with somebody else. And so in relationships and conflict, this means that we are really good at ignoring our role in the conflict. But we are really, really good at nitpicking and picking up the small things from somebody else. And so Jesus here is like, stop, check your perspective. Take a moment to actually think through this situation from somebody else's point of view. Think it through of how it looks. Because I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people who runs through a situation a couple of times in my head when I'm frustrated. And the first time is generally me just getting all the feelings out and saying exactly what I want to say to the other person in my brain. But then second and third time, the other person starts to speak back. In my brain still, I haven't actually gone to the other person at this point. But as they speak back, I begin to realize that maybe I've been frustrated that something hasn't been done. But they point out that if that thing had been done, other things would have had to be left undone. And then I would have been frustrated about those things not being done. And I begin to realize that maybe I'm not actually frustrated at the other person, but I'm frustrated because I'm stressed. I'm frustrated because I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated because I just didn't sleep well last night. And I'm choosing to take it out on the other person. Jesus is challenging us to pause and to check our perspective. What is the way that we are looking at this conflict? How are we viewing it? And is it actually accurate? This is about acknowledging we have a role and a part to play in the conflict. And I love the example here that Jesus gives of a speck of sawdust in the brother's eye and a plank in our own eye. Often we have a bigger part to play that we don't want to realize. But once we have actually acknowledged, once we've realized that we have a part to play, then we have to actually work on our side first. Jesus says in verse 5, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye." We have to actually choose to fix our side of the problem. And sometimes this might mean us going away and leaving the moment to go and work on something and then coming back later to apologize. To let people know that we made a mistake in the way that we dealt with it. Sometimes, though, we don't have the opportunity to leave a conversation. We need to actually deal with something there. And so working on our plank there is actually choosing to acknowledge it. It's actually choosing to own your role in it, your side, your part in the conflict and go, you know what? I've made a mistake with this thing. I was really frustrated this morning when I said those things. And it doesn't excuse it, but I want to own that. I want to say sorry for that. And one of the beautiful things that when we actually acknowledge our faults, when we actually acknowledge the things that we have done wrong, is it values the other person and it shifts the conversation. Because all of a sudden, this is not an argument. This is not a disagreement between two people that is a fight to be won. When you are vulnerable and you choose to give an acknowledgement that you have made a mistake, that you have a part to play in this, you are saying to the other person, I value our relationship. This is important to me, and I'm going to own where I have made a mistake. And the other person doesn't feel so attacked. There's an opportunity to actually engage and converse in a better way. So Jesus challenges us. Check your perspective. What are the things that you are ignoring? What do you need to own in this moment, in this frustration, in this conflict? And then he finishes with the final one. Check your heart. Jesus says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Jesus is inviting us to reflect on the state of our heart and the way that we see the other person. And in verse 5, we see that Jesus wants us to deal with conflict. He wants us to actually engage with the other person. In verse 1, there is that, do not judge or you too will be judged. And people often see that as a, we cannot say anything that challenges another person. But to do that will leave relationships broken. It will leave gaps. It will cause relationship breakdown. And Jesus doesn't want that. Instead, he says, first, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly. Deal with your own side first, and then you can help somebody else. But I love that Jesus refers to the other person as our brother or as our sister. This is language that says, this is somebody you care about. This is somebody who is important to you. This is somebody who matters. And so our final step in this is we need to choose to check our hearts. Are we choosing to pursue this conflict because we love this other person, because we want the best for them? Or are we choosing to pursue this conflict because they are kind of annoying us and we want to take them down a peg or two? Because I can think of examples in my life where I've been both sides of that coin. Jesus is challenging us that this needs to be an act of love. Because conflict shifts our focus. We lose sight of the other person because we're reminded of other hurts that we are carrying, that we have. We are reminded of the problem, the issue, and we miss the person behind it. So Jesus wants us to see that this is about the love that we have for someone else. Do we want the best for that person? Do we want to show love to the people around us? And I think one of the most beautiful examples I ever saw of this was when I was in grade 8 or grade 9. I was a volunteer leader at the campsite, Camp Clayton. And at the time, the youth worker was an American guy. He was big, he was wide, he was strong, he was bald, but with a big bushy beard. So obviously, being American, we called him Bald Eagle. It fit. But I had a couple of boys in my cabin who just kept getting on each other's nerves. And it had gotten to the point where there had been a little bit of fisticuffs. And I was a new leader. I was out of my depth. And so I got Micah, Bald Eagle. And he sat these two boys down on the stools in front of the cabin. And then I watched this big American guy sit down cross-legged in front of these boys and look up at them. as he asked them what had happened. What was going on? It was one of the most beautiful examples of leadership and love in conflict that I have ever seen. Because this guy, he was busy. There was always lots going on and lots of issues to deal with at that campsite, especially at a boys' camp. And yet he made space and time to sit down with these guys. He took away his presence. He took away his authority and sat down and gave that power to them. Because they mattered as people. He could have just told them to cut it out, and he could have set some punishments or some consequences in place, and that would have been fine. And there were times that that was what happened, and yet this time he chose to show love, to check his heart, and help them see that the other person was a brother, to see that the other person was somebody who mattered. This was not just something to be resolved, but this was a relationship to be restored. One of the most beautiful examples I've ever seen. He showed these guys a different way to live and act. He didn't want to just ignore the situation, because that is not loving. But instead, he helped them to walk through this. We're called to check our hearts, to check the way that we respond, to check the way that we care for the other person. This conflict is not something to be won. What matters is the relationship and the other person. And so we need to ask ourselves in conflict, am I engaging with this in a way that sees the other person, that loves the other person? Because we all deal with conflict. It's all around us, in our families, in our town, in church, at work. We all deal with conflict in so many different ways. And Jesus' words and his challenge to us is this: before you respond, check yourself. Check your approach. Check your expectations. I should remember that. Check your perspective. And then check your heart. And I wonder, is there a conflict that's in your mind at the moment? Is there some kind of frustration going on between you and another person at the moment that you need to just pause and reflect on your role in that? That you need to just take the opportunity to check yourself with? So we're just going to take a minute to just pause and reflect, and to invite God into that space to reveal what he needs to reveal. And maybe there's not a conflict that you are in at the moment, which is great. But I'm sure that there are ones in the world around you. Maybe take this opportunity to pray for those conflicts, for those things that are happening. Let's just take a moment to pause and reflect. Where do we need to check ourselves?
Lord Jesus.
We thank you for your words in the gospel. Lord, we thank you that conflict is not something for us to be in fear of. It's not a competition to be won. But Lord, you show us the way to redeem it, to strengthen relationships, to glorify you in what happens. But Lord God, we know that that requires self-reflection. That requires us to pause and to consider the ways that we have contributed to all that is going on. So Lord, we pray that you would help open our eyes to see where you are at work. Open our eyes to see the ways in which we contribute to the conflicts, the frustrations, the annoyances in the relationships around us. God, in that moment where we are defensive and wanting to strike out, help us to pause, to reconsider the way we approach or reconsider the expectations we have. Help us to own our role and work on it. And Lord, help us to never lose sight of the fact that we love and we care for the person on the other side. That we want the best for them. Lord Jesus, open our eyes. Help us to see what we need to see. Lord, may you be glorified in all that we do, in all the ways that we act. Lord, these things we pray in your name. Amen.